It's time to fire it up.
Char, broiling pow.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here, just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guy.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're in Lowell or if you're over here in Granville or somewhere down there in that Kalamazoo area, you're tuning in and we appreciate it. But I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Thanks. That's right, Jop. And don't forget, there's hundreds and hundreds of people downloading our podcast every week. And, of course, we've got a lot of people streaming all over the world. The list of countries is amazing. And we're going to have Big Paulie on in the third segment, who's on our board of directors. And he said that his buddies out in New Jersey stream the show.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And they want him to come down for a party they're having because he's one of the grilling guys.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about that. We'll only take a small royalty on that affiliation, right? Yeah.
Good angle.
Yeah.
Hey, today is the anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War in 1975. And
amen.
I have a very, very solid memory of that situation. I was happy that it finally ended. It should have never happened, just like this nonsense that's going on right now. And we got to stop letting people talk us into throwing bullets and people at stupid problems.
Right. I had a brother that made it through the Vietnam War. I had a second brother that was fortunate enough. I guess back when they did the draft, you were assigned a number.
Mm-hmm.
And high numbers didn't get drafted and low numbers did. And my two brothers were at the opposite ends of that spectrum. I mean, one of them was in a single digit number and the other one was so high that it never even came close. And but they were is interesting because the brother that did get drafted, he was a senior in college and they let him finish college and then took him into the service after that, and I don't believe he ever saw much battle or of the nasty stuff that so many men did.
Did they give him a commission?
What? Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and he was like an emissary for a general, and I think that he pretty much never left Germany the whole time.
Oh.
So it was so. I mean, you know what? Everybody had a job, and he had a job to do. He didn't talk about it a lot, but I know that my parents, while he was there, went and saw him while he was in the service.
Cool.
So I'm pretty sure that he was on the safe side of the zone.
That was probably the first time your dad went back.
Right.
Wasn't he over there?
Yeah, he's in World War II. Yeah. Right. Yep, exactly. So, but anyway, just, you know, so there's a touch of my family in that. Certainly not me, but.
My brother Calvin got drafted at an older age. I think he was like 25 or 26.
Right.
Because he had gotten divorced. And I kind of think that his ex-father-in-law was on the draft board.
Oh, wow.
And he got drafted, and since he was more mature and older, he's very smart, they appointed him to airborne, and then he was a point man. And so he carried an M60, which is when I got out of the Air Force, I went in the Army Guard, and they asked me what job I wanted, and I said, well, can I carry an M60?
Right.
So I wanted to see what it's like. Much easier at Camp Grayling than it was
Sure, in certainly.
But he only made it about 5 months over there. And Christmas Day of 1970, his whole squad got hit by a landmine. They had dogs sniffing for bombs and drugs and whatever, and one of the dogs tripped off the mine. And it's one of those that bounces up and blasts down. And I got to be friends with one of his partners. There were only three guys that survived, Calvin and a guy named Gary and Bob. And those are three of the boys, the Nurmico boys, Calvin, Gary, and Bob.
Yeah.
And Gary Rowell is down in Georgia, and I got to be close friends with him when Alex graduated from Fort Jackson.
I remember that.
We went down and stayed.
Alex, your son.
Yeah. Stayed with the best people in their mansion, and they own Tech Infrared Grills, and they put us up, and they gave us the whole upper floor.
Nice.
and Gary got to come up from Georgia, and Alex came out and stayed after being at Camp Jackson or Fort Jackson for boot camp.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's staying in a 17,000 square foot home.
Yeah.
And we had us a time, but that was Calvin Dale. He was a good brother.
Yep. But anyway, so. We're going to talk a little bit about chicken this show. But, you know, before I get into that, to carry this on further, Colonel Denny Gillum, he has a Front Lines of Freedom Radio. Freedom. Wow. Front Line. I haven't even started drinking yet.
You didn't even call him Sergeant.
No, right. Yeah. Colonel Denny Gillum has a radio show called Front Lines of Freedom. We've known Denny for years. And we're going to have him on in the second segment to talk a little bit about Vietnam. Whether you were in it, if you're of that age, or you had family members in it, you're not going to want to miss this guy. He is a wealth of military information.
Well, he's a history major, and right. he's a professor. I don't know if he's still teaching at Grand Rapids Community College, but he's a solid citizen in Michigan, and he actually is involved with this military Thanksgiving that we have every year, and I'll be going again. It's right. down at the JW. And it's just fantastic. They bring in a bunch of veterans and a bunch of high school kids, and they put a couple vets at each table with a bunch of kids, and these kids are thinking of going in the military, and it's kind of cool. But Denny's the big driving force behind that.
Yeah, and you know what? That is a wonderful dinner that you've done that for years now. And, you know, it's just the bright-eyed young men and women that sit at those tables, and they ask questions that are you know, important to them, and they're getting some sage advice from older men and women that have been through what they're thinking
and,
about
and
doing.
And the way things are going right now, I think all we can tell them is don't do it.
Well, you know, I mean, the military needs the next generation as well, but it's not for everybody, that's for sure.
Never has been.
Right.
But listen, I wanted to talk a little bit about something that we're going to get into, some chicken, and one of the things that a friend of mine does is, of course, we talk about spatchcock chicken. What he does is he, of course, grills it because you can grill a spatchcock. You don't have to have a smoker. But he lays it on a bed of herbs.
So give us 10 seconds. What if
spatchcock in it? Yeah, yep. you just take some scissors or a knife and you cut the spine out. In his video, he doesn't cut the ribs out, but I also take the ribs out because it's all opened up.
They come out very easy, too. You almost pull them out.
Yep. And but then he puts together like rosemary and thyme, the full stalks. He makes like a bed.
Oh, nice.
And he lays it. He puts oil, of course, on the skin and seasoning, and then lays it on that bed of herbs. I think that's a fantastic idea. Then he uses those. If they get a little charred, he saves some of them, chops them up for the presentation afterwards. If he puts a white sauce or anything on him like that, he'll put that chopped up.
As I'm thinking about this, one, that sounds awesome, but two, if you've got that bed of herbs on there and the stalks, they're fresh probably, so they're going to be green, but at some point they might get charred.
Yeah,
is he doing
charred.
A lower heat or is
they're
it
charred.
A normal like moderate heat when you do chicken?
You have to go pretty slow with that, so you're going to have a cooler. You know, it might be a time when you'd want to use briquettes, so you don't get too much heat.
Right.
And
we talked about that last week. But if you didn't hear that conversation last week,
shame on you.
Well, you know what? We'll give you a pass because I'm going to say it again. So deal with it.
Now I'll give them a pass.
Right. Yeah, so I did a smoke, and I ran out of lump charcoal and had a bag of briquette charcoal, and when I refilled the firebox, I couldn't get over 300 degrees, and it added 2 hours to my smoke, blah, blah, blah. The point is what Bob just said, is that if you want a moderate temperature in a charcoal grill, use briquettes. If you need a hot fire in a charcoal grill, you use lump charcoal. And they're very different. And if you don't know the difference, just go to any store.
Wherever you buy your charcoal.
Right, and they'll have both.
One, generally.
Right.
A lot of people just carry briquettes and don't shop there.
Right.
Because they don't know what they're doing.
But, you know, most hardware stores or stuff like that are...
Yeah, it's a big thing now.
Right.
You know, back when
Sobeys has lump and briquettes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When I was starting to rep 20 years ago... nobody had lump charcoal. So what we were selling our version of it. It sold very well because it was so unique and people got on to the beautiful taste of fresh lump charcoal.
Right, and it crisps things up so nice because you can get 900 to 1,000 degrees out of it. You don't have to.
1250.
But you can. Yeah, you can. All right. Coming up next, we're going to take you back to a little bit of Vietnam, and we're going to talk with a gentleman you don't want to miss. His name is Colonel Denny Gillum from Front Lines of Freedom. He's going to be joining us next. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this wonderful West Michigan and wherever you're living. We appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob, we're 1975. On this day was the end of the Vietnam War. I don't know much about that. I wasn't born then, or I was, but I was just a young tot. But we got somebody on the live line that might know a little bit more about it than me, huh?
Yeah. Colonel Denny Gillum, welcome, sir. How are you?
Glad to join you guys again. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I know. Right. It's always good to talk to you. And I thought of you the moment I looked at my calendar and saw that it was that day, and so that's why I got a hold of you earlier in the week and said, can you please, and I appreciate you taking some time with us. And if you could fill the people in for a couple minutes on your background and let them know your bona fides, and then we'll talk about the Vietnam War and the ending and whatever you like.
Okay, well, I graduated from West Point in 1964, went to Airborne and Ranger School. My first duty station was Fort Carson, Colorado, where I met the lady I'm still married to. I then volunteered for duty in Vietnam, spent a year in Vietnam as a lieutenant, a rifle platoon leader for the first half of the tour. The second half, I was a general's aide. Came home, got married to my sweetheart, was assigned to the 101st Airborne Division as a rifle company commander. My first trip to Michigan was in that capacity. I came to the Detroit riots. And a year after getting to Fort Campbell, the whole division deployed to Vietnam again for a year for the Tet 68 fighting. Came back from that, went to some schools, served in Germany for about 3 years, was a Mideast war planner for 4 years, ran an ROTC department. My last duty station was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I didn't want to come here, but I was assigned as an Army advisor to the Michigan National Guard. And my wife and I fell in love with the West Michigan culture and the seasons, and I retired so they wouldn't move me. So,
well, so you went back for the Tet. You went back for the Tet offensive then.
Oh yeah, the Tet offensive in '68. We were there for that, right in the middle of it.
That would be something I personally would love to hear about, and I think a lot of people don't really understand Tet and the significance and how we actually got bamboozled.
Well, as we're talking about Vietnam, that was a big turning point, the Tet 68 offensive. The North Vietnamese attacked a whole bunch of different places. We really were mostly surprised by it. We saw some of it coming, but not all of it. When all was said and done, a couple of months later, the North Vietnamese had lost everywhere. They had not won a major battle anywhere. The senior North Vietnamese commander, we found out later, had recommended that all the troops be withdrawn from South Vietnam and they just call it quits. However, the American media declared it to be a North Vietnamese victory. And that turned the attitude of the American people. I'm greatly simplified the matter. It's not,
certainly. You know,
nothing is totally anything. But and the North Vietnamese government saw that as a leg for victory. and we Americans really aren't good at, and I hopefully never get good at, staying at forever wars. We almost did that in Afghanistan, and the nation sort of got tired of it. But this was a big war where our government didn't declare war. So we, our whole nation wasn't at war. You know, we didn't shut things down. You know, World War II, we shut things, automobile manufacturing shut down. They made Jeeps and planes and artillery. They're fond of saying that our military was at war, Congress was at lunch, and the people were at the wall.
So Tet was nation, actually a religious, an annual religious holiday, right?
Yeah, that's when virtually everybody took about a week off, and people went home, and yes, it was a religious holiday.
Yeah, and even back in the 60s, the media was playing games with the truth, and that hasn't really changed. I see it today.
Yeah, I saw it physically happen a few times. Now, that doesn't mean every reporter. I don't mean that by any means. But enough of them did, and the mainstream media tended to... I had one guy give away a firing position of one of my platoons so he could take pictures, and hopefully, he didn't say this, I did, get a picture of one of my guys getting blown away by the enemy after he gave away their position.
Wow.
By running out and taking pictures. I mean, I saw, this is personal, firsthand stuff. He wanted a Pulitzer Prize. That's what he wanted. He didn't get it.
Good.
Good. Amen to that.
So we've got 2 minutes left. Can you basically tell us the long and short of lessons we need to learn from that?
Yeah, one, don't go to war unless Congress declares war. That way, if you don't think we should be there, you can hold your congressman accountable for how he or she voted for it, and your U.S. senator. So we shouldn't go to war, and I don't mean a two-week something to relieve somebody, but we should not go to war unless Congress declares war, ever. We absolutely need to avoid forever wars. If you name a war, then you name the enemy, and we know that we've defeated them, the war is over. That's what worked in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hold our executive branch accountable by holding our Congress people accountable, because they're the ones that provide the funds. The moral of the story is, we're not the world's cop. That's not our role. And we should go to war to protect our interests and those of our allies. But if we go to war, we declare war. And we're not into nation building. Why would you think that a tribal society would want to have a constitutional republic like the United States?
Right.
That's what we tried to force on Japan, on Afghanistan. We need to avoid that.
Yeah. So as it applies to today, we've got a skirmish going on in the Ukraine, and as it stands in Mariupol, you've got the Azovs held up in a giant steel factory. It's kind of sounding like there are Germans and Americans down there with them, and that's why they're holding out, because the American and German military are trying to save face. What do you think about that?
I don't think there are active duty military there, but I'm quite sure there are an awful lot of volunteers, of veterans, who went over to fight with them.
Yeah.
The only foreign military unit that I know is there is the Israelis have a combat field hospital over there.
Well needed.
Yeah. They're the only ones standing up. They're the only ones doing anything. I don't know why. Why isn't Greece, why isn't Egypt, why aren't the countries that don't want to have this happen to them, why aren't they helping? I don't know.
All right.
Yep.
It gets confusing for the average guy out there, and with people with military background, it's still confusing. So it's
amen.
It's just one of those sad things. So how can people hear your show, Colonel?
Front Lines of Freedom plays locally on Wood Radio Sunday nights at 8 p.m., 2-hour show, and once it's posted, once it plays, It's posted on our website as a podcast, so you can pick it up there anyway. Having said that, we got hacked, and the website isn't working very well right now, but it'll be back together again in another week or so.
We're up against the hard clock. We got to go, Colonel. Denny Gillum, thank you so much. Love you, brother. See you at the Thanksgiving.
Amen.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to The Grillin' Guys on The Grillin' Guys Talk Network. I tell you, Colonel Denny Gillum, bless his heart, man. That guy is a patriot if I've ever met one. Just a wealth of knowledge about the military. And we're going to lighten it up now a little bit, but another guy that knows a little bit of something about the military is on the live line, right, Bob?
That's right. We got our favorite Goomba, Big Paulie from Jersey.
Hey, Bob, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I was jonesing after I talked to you because you said you were going to go to my favorite Italian restaurant that day.
And that's right, 2825 in Atlantic City. And my buddy Joe is, he's got something going on there. It's unbelievable. I was there with my wife, with my friend Matt and his wife, and we had a wonderful time. It was just a great place to be, and everybody, you wouldn't believe who's there. It's one of those joints where,
yeah,
like, we walked in, and then right after I was there, the fellow who ran for governor of our state, he almost won, he walks in, sits down with us, we start talking, then a couple other my friends come in, and we look around, and you look around, and you see lawyers and politicians and judges, and you also see gangsters, which is the fun part. And the
what
funny
part of the
is,
mirror were you looking in, Paulie?
I kind of know. I think I fit all four categories. I don't know.
So if you don't know who Big Paulie is, he's the president of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association. He's not a gangster, but you know, he looks like a made guy. If you ever meet him, he'll get you in at the 2825, because if you don't know Joe, you're not going to get in. And Paulie will get you a table.
If you know Joe, you sometimes can't get in.
Right.
It's just, he's, God bless, they're doing so well, and they make a fantastic product, and everybody has a good time. I'll tell you, the people that go there, everybody likes to eat. Of course, you got to like to eat to go to that joint. Yeah. But it is, I think he had the designation of being one of the 10 top restaurants in the nation.
I can see
why.
Which
is remarkable.
I can see why, because the last time I was there with you, he made that homemade mozzarella right at the table.
Oh, God, was it great. Let me tell you the funny part. If you tried to get a reservation in the summertime, the answering machine answers and says, if you're looking to come here within the next 3 months, hang up and call me back in 3 months, because you're not going to get in. I swear to God, it says that. But I got to tell you, if you can get a seat, get a table, and you have a special night to go have a nice dinner, it's the best place,
yeah.
I swear.
Truly.
I know it's the best in New Jersey.
Truly, it's
and
magic.
The designation, just, you know, is well-earned indeed.
So, you being a paisan, you ever grill any chicken?
Oh, yeah, we cooked a lot of birds. You know, I got to tell you, the best thing about cooking chicken is that nowadays, yeah, I don't know if you saw, but the inflation's so high, and we just entered, we're going into a recession, it looks like. We just saw the GDP is down about 1.5 points. So, and chicken is going through the roof.
Hmm.
So, you know, you got to start getting your gun out and shoot pigeons, I think, because it's so expensive. But, no, the best thing about chicken is that it's not terribly expensive, and you have to hope you can get it nowadays, because there's a lot of times you walk into the store and there's the empty shelves, and it kind of scares you. But the chicken, the way I like it, as you know, and I got a lot of friends. By the way, Bobby, you got friends in New Jersey, in
right.
New York,
right.
in Pennsylvania. All my friends in Florida, they're listening right now, which I love, and I want to give a shout-out to John, to Johnny, and to Joe, and to Doug, and to Frankie. And they're all going to be listening to this show.
And I want you guys to know that I've got dirt on all of you, okay? Because we have talked.
Excuse me, Bob. Remember what we said when we started the show, right? So let's be very careful. You don't want to go out of turn, right? Just don't go out of turn. Because we're marinating chicken now, but, you know, we can fit a lot of things. I got a big grill. And like, don't worry about the grill because I got two grills. So I can fit a lot of stuff on that grill, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But, you know, I was thinking we got to do is we got to marinate you, I think, Bob.
I've been marinated before with you.
Right. I hear red wine's the best.
Chicken, Bob.
Yeah.
You got to do that. That's the most important part of grilling chicken, is if you want a juicy, flavorful chicken, a good marinade is absolutely key.
Give us
okay?
that.
Well, I think I'm not going to give you my recipe, but I'm going to tell you what type of marinade I like. I love apricot and oranges, and you put that in with a touch of ginger, all right? And you mix it up, and you put your chicken in a bag, as well as the people who bother you. And you put the chicken in the bag, and you put them in the refrigerator with this marinade and keep it there overnight. Because the bottom line is, the longer you marinate your chicken, the better it's going to be. That's a fact. You can't do it too long. And then when you get your grill, and you know this, guys, Joop, you probably know this, Joop, the most important thing is to make sure you preheat that grill.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people who don't understand the value of preheating. But you'll understand this in a second. The most important thing after you preheat the grill is you got to put a little oil on the grill itself because you don't want the chicken sticking right on the grate. So you get your grate, you oil it up, you put something nice on it, especially if the marinade doesn't have a lot of fat in it, which you need to make the chicken cook right, and you sear the chicken. And I guess, you know, if you want to cook it the old-fashioned way, I cook it for about 5 minutes, 6 minutes on one side, I flip it over, maybe another 6 or 7 on the other side. And if you have a meat thermometer, if you're very sophisticated, I'm not that sophisticated, but people sometimes use meat thermometers, and you get that chicken up to 165 degrees, and you know you did a great job cooking it. And you're searing all those juices. One other secret a lot of people don't know is after you take the chicken off the barbecue, you have to find a way, they call it the sophisticated people, so you let it rest. But you have to put it in, like, a nice plate. You cover it with some nice tin foil or aluminum foil, and you let it sit there for about 3 to 5 minutes at least. I know this sounds like it's a long time, but it's not. It helps with the searing of the juices. It helps make the chicken better when you cut into it and have a more flavorful chicken, a good experience. There's one other marinade I want to share with you guys. This is like a spicy maple Dijon type of maple marinade we use. It's pretty easy. I think what you got to do, though, with this is some people take coconut. Some people put the apricot, like I say. I love maple. And the best thing to do with maple is just take it right out of the bottle, good maple, pure maple syrup, and add it as your base. And you could put that on with the orange marinade. You could put it on with the apricot. You mix it all up. You leave it in the refrigerator. If you can get a night or two out of it, and you're going to have a big party on Sunday, your friends are going to go crazy for this.
So the marmalade gives you some sugar. Do you add some salt to that marinade?
You know, you got to put a little salt in it, but, you know, not too much. I find sometimes you put a little vinegar in it, too, and that helps give you that saltiness.
You
need a little sweet. I'm sorry, Ged.
No, you said something key I very much agree with. You cannot over-marinate chicken. Now, you can over-marinate skinless, boneless breasts, but in terms of regular chicken with the skin on and everything, you will not over-marinate that if you're not heavy on your acids.
Absolutely. But you need, you know, sometimes the citrus from the marmalade will give you the acid that you're looking for. So, you know, you've got, and I've seen people use grapefruit marmalade. orange marmalade, and apricot marmalade. And you put that in as part of your seasoning. And then, of course, other seasons, you know, spices that'll dress it up a little bit. You know, people are, it's really funny. I've seen people use yogurt and buttermilk and all kinds of different things for fat. But I still think the best is good old-fashioned oil because, you know, chicken isn't that fattening to begin with. And when you're cooking it on the grill, a lot of the fat is going to drip on the coals, and that's going to give you that beautiful barbecue taste you want. So you really can't get hurt. And by the way, let's say you make a mistake. Just eat the chicken and relax, okay? It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Just go enjoy yourself, for God's sake.
Paul Rotella, I miss you, brother, and I sure appreciate you coming on with us, and it's good to hear your voice.
I miss you too, brother. It's good hearing your voice. You guys be well. Are you going to have a big chicken fest this Sunday?
Yeah, that's well, why we're calling you.
Outstanding, because that's what I think I'm going to do. My wife is upstairs right now, and she's going to kill the chickens, and we're going to get ready to have
All right.
Give her my somebody else do that.
Give her my love.
All right.
See ya.
I'll see you guys. All right. Have fun.
Thanks,
Happy
Paul.
Mother's Day. Bye-bye.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to smoke what's left of that chicken. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. We're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. That was Big Paulie from Jersey. I could listen to that guy all day. We probably ran a little long on that segment, but he is a wealth of knowledge. Plus, he's just a lot of fun. And it's Bob, you've had the pleasure of meeting him. I've not. I've only ever talked to him on the radio. But, man, it's been years that we've been doing that. And I kind of feel like I know the guy.
I think you know him a bit.
He's humble as well because he's a big deal in Jersey. So it's kind of cool that he takes time to talk with us.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he talked about chicken and a couple marinades. You know, that's Paulie's classic style. I want to tell you about it, but I'm really not going to tell you about it.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's introduced me to some people when I go out to his events, like – Joe Piscopo.
Right.
Andrew Napolitano. He's everybody knows Paulie.
Yep.
When you go into a restaurant, you know, when you go into the, like, we used to stay at the Trump when we went out there, it's not open anymore, and then Caesars or whatever. The guys park in the car. Mr. Rotella. And he's, you got a 20 in his hand. He's just boom, boom, boom. He gets everything he wants.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, he's a lot of fun. It just, anyway, so. Yep.
He's exactly what you think he would be.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's Well, he's actually a lawyer.
Right.
And he worked in a three-letter agency for the government.
Right.
He's got some history.
Yeah.
So, smoked or grilled chicken wings. This is something that I don't think we can talk about enough because everybody loves wings, and they've gotten pricey. And as Paulie said, with the inflation, they're getting pricier. It's crazy what chicken wings are going for.
Yeah,
now.
Well, when you walk into the meat market and chicken wings are more than skinless, boneless breast, you're like, what is going on here?
Thanks, Buffalo.
Right, but but the thing is that they're fun to make and they're fun to eat. And for as many people as listening, they've got their favorite recipe on what they taste like. I got one, and I'll share it if we have time. But I know that you've got some too here.
Well, I think one of the keys to chicken is Paulie was talking about marinating. I would say I tend to brine, which is a marinade, but. You can take those different herbals and things you want to take it in a direction with some grape or tomato or any other flavor like that. But the key is the cold water, salt, and sugar. And then you put it in the fridge for at least 3 hours. But I would tell you 12 hours would be better. And you can't over-marinate if you don't have any heavy acids in there. So
right.
If you're not going heavy with vinegar or wine, you can leave it in there for a day or two. And chicken is so it's maybe because of the muscle structure or whatever, but it does not accept brine and marinade real well. The breast does, but I'm thinking of those thighs.
Right.
I always am.
Right.
And wings. Those don't really – you can marinate the heck out of them, brine the heck out of them. And what that's going to do for you is that's going to leave them juicier when you're done cooking them. You're just hydrating a bit. That's why you want the salt and sugar with it. And so what's your method?
Well, I smoke them, then I deep fry them because I like the smoky flavor, but I don't like the rubbery skin. And I can't get them crispy. And I've tried to go from the smoker to the grill, and I burned them, frankly, a couple times.
Well, you should slow down on the alcohol.
Right, yeah.
Don't blame the bird.
But our friends at Old World Olive Company have a oil that's lime infused. And I take the chicken wings and maybe pour like a quarter of a cup of that lime olive oil on them and roll them around in a Ziploc bag. And then I pull them out and put them on a rack and let them drip dry a little bit. And then I hit them with a Memphis rub, which is a little bit of a citrus rub anyway.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a citrus forward flavor on my chicken wings that I like the best. So then I'll take those and put them in the smoker and pretty much get them cooked through maybe like to 150 degrees. And you got, like Paulie said, go 165, 170, 180. You're good with chicken wings. There's a lot of bone in there and just a little bit of meat. So you want to get it warm through. But then I'll pull them off there and just flash fry them for maybe like a minute in 350 oil. Not to cook them so much, but
right,
just to crisp them up.
You can put a
bit.
Big pan on your grill and do it. You
right.
can do it on your stovetop.
Right.
There's lots of ways.
I like to do
fry.
It outside just because I've got one of those little deep fryers that's maybe only hold like 2 quarts.
Yeah.
Right. And I put just a couple inches of oil in the
Fry
bottom
Daddy.
Of it. Yeah. And take them right from the smoker, dunk them in there, and then put them on a paper towel to dry. But that just that crisping that up makes a world of difference in the texture and the mouthfeel to me.
I got a friend who keeps a double basket deep fryer on his kitchen counter.
Yeah. Right.
That's cool.
I don't like it that much. But I got this little one. I think I got it at Cabela's or something.
Sure.
Just a little burner.
Sure.
Hooks to a propane tank.
Yeah.
Right? And you just it'll heat up oil in a couple minutes.
So you hit something there. Let's say they haven't got that lime olive oil. You can take just some lime or lime juice, throw it in with vegetable oil, and get that same effect if you want, because you're trying to pick up some flavor from the lime.
Right.
And you might not have.
Go easy because that's your acid. I mean, don't squeeze a whole lime in with a cup of oil because I think you'll get too much acid in there and then it might be, but.
You might have a trip.
Yeah, well, you might cook them a little bit while they're in the marinade. You know, that's what the acid does,
yeah.
And that's not necessarily what I wanted to do.
Right.
But I have no idea the concentration that's in that oil from Old World Olive Company, but it isn't much.
No, it's an infusion.
Right.
So here's a cool little trick. Let's say you wanted some barbecue sauce, and you look in, and you're like, oh, my gosh, the bottle is like got that much in the bottom. Well, you can take some ketchup. And you can take your favorite barbecue rub, squirt some ketchup in a bowl, put your barbecue rub on to your liking, you know, don't go too heavy, and then put a little bit of cider vinegar in there and whisk that, and you'll have a wonderful, and if you want to throw some marmalade and take it into a fruit direction, there's
right.
your opportunity. You can make your own sauce, I'm telling you.
That's something that I don't normally have in my house is marmalade.
I love orange
I remember
marmalade.
Growing up with it.
And you remember?
My member. And I remember growing up with it, and my mom used to have it, and the orange peel that was in the orange marmalade always had a little bit of a bitter twang to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the beauty.
You know, but I was like the kid with peanut butter and jelly, man. I was expecting that sweetness from that thing, and you'd get that You'd get that orange peel in there,
Conrad,
and it was like,
don't you remember Toast and Marmalade for Tea, the song? Didn't it just make you want to eat something?
I like bread and butter. Yeah. Is that this kind of? Yeah.
Toast and Marmalade for Tea. It was English.
Oh, no. No, before my time, buddy. One.
And I hope you guys don't either, because I'm sure he just ruined it for you.
Who's loving?
Yeah, right. He's running out of words now.
This is when you start faking it.
Right. Seen you do it before. You're good at it.
Oh, I remember that. Anyway, remember?
Yeah, remember? Right.
Lighten up, boys. Come on.
All right. Yeah. All right. Okay, back to the show now.
How much time we got here, boss?
Yeah.
I got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's talk about a little Nashville chicken.
And tell me what that is, because I'm not sure what you're referencing.
It's very popular in Nashville, believe it or not.
Okay.
And they've got varying degrees. Several bunch of chains do it. They're generally using like a cayenne or Tabasco or something in their mix, but they deep fry it, and it's hot.
Yeah,
and
it's spicy hot.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. And you can get varying degrees of it, but, you know, I like hot stuff. And
yep.
It's very popular, and I'm going to be playing around with that tonight. That and a little bit of Big Bob Gibson's Alabama White Chicken.
So is it fried chicken that's just got a sauce on it?
Generally.
So it's fried with or without the sauce on it?
There's
generally.
Varying...
You roll it in the sauce when it comes out?
No. What most of these guys are doing is putting it in the breading.
Oh.
They're putting like cayenne or habanero.
So powdered seasonings,
yes,
not
yes,
wet.
In
okay,
the breading.
I get it. I get it. When you said Tabasco,
and
it took me
beautiful.
In the wrong direction.
Well,
there are
some people that do that as well. But usually, I believe the techniques I've seen, I think I copied one of them here.
The Alabama online, white sauce, right?
Get online and look up Nashville hot chicken.
Okay.
And, I mean, you got to love Nashville anyway, so it can't be all that bad. They got a bunch of places selling it down
there. We got about a minute left. What's the difference between that and Alabama?
Well, Alabama white sauce is a mayo-based. Big Bob Gibson came up with it, and I believe you are now a fan.
Yep.
You buy it now, right?
And it's a little tangy. It's got some vinegar in it, but it is a mayonnaise-based sauce with some vinegar and some other spices.
And it's got Worcestershire in it.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Right, yep. But it just makes a really good flavor. It'll spice up your chicken, no kidding.
I mean,
that's what it's for.
So what my buddy does in this video I was showing you, Lambert, he does it differently than I would do it. What Big Bob Gibson does is they just dip it in when it comes off the griller and the smoker. And then it turns dark on the plate.
Right.
So
cool.
That's it.
Well, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And get out there and fire up your grill. The spring has sprung, and it's time to get her done. We'll talk with you next week.
See you.